We continue now with Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori, and this chapter on the general judgment. The damned, like so many goats destined for the slaughter, will be compelled to remain at the left, waiting for the judge, who will publicly pronounce sentence of condemnation against all his enemies. But behold, the heavens are already opened. The angels come to assist at the judgment, carrying the symbols of the passion of Jesus Christ. When, says St. Thomas, the Lord comes to judge, the sign of the cross and the other emblems of his passion shall be exhibited. The cross especially will appear. And then, says the Redeemer, shall he appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn. Oh, says Cornelius a Lapide, how great at the sight of the cross will be the wailing of sinners, who during life disregarded their own salvation, which the Son of God purchased at so dear a price. Then, says St. Chrysostom, shall the nails complain of thee, the wounds, the cross of Christ, shall speak against thee. The holy apostles and all their imitators will act as assessors at the general judgment, and shall, together with Jesus Christ, judge the nations. The just shall shine. They shall judge nations. Mary, the Queen of Angels and Saints, will also come to assist at the judgment. Lastly, the eternal judge will come seated on a throne of majesty and light. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. At their presence, says the prophet Joel, the people shall be in grievous pains. The sight of Jesus Christ will console the elect, but in the reprobate it will excite more pain than hell itself. It would, says St. Jerome, be easier to bear the pains of hell than the presence of the Lord. St. Teresa used to say, my Jesus, afflict me with every pain, but do not allow me to see thy countenance enraged against me on that day. And St. Basil says, this confusion surpasses all torture. Then will be verified the prediction of St. John, that the damned will call upon the mountains to fall upon them, and to hide them from the sight of an angry judge. And they shall say to the mountains and rocks, fall upon us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Affections and prayers. O my dear Redeemer, O Lamb of God, who hast come into the world not to punish, but to pardon sins, pardon me immediately. Pardon me before the arrival of that day on which thou wilt judge me. Then the sight of thee, O divine Lamb, who hast borne with me so long and with so much patience, should, if I were lost, be the hell of hells. I say again, pardon me soon. Draw me by thy merciful hand from the abyss into which my sins have cast me. I repent, O sovereign good, of having offended thee, and of having offended thee so grievously. I love thee, my judge, who hast loved me so tenderly. Ah, through the merits of thy death, grant me a great grace, which will transform me from a sinner into a saint. Thou hast promised to hear all who pray to thee. Cry to me, and I will hear thee. I do not ask earthly goods. I ask thy grace, thy love, and nothing else. Hear me, O my Jesus, through the love which thou didst bear to me when thou didst die on the cross for my salvation. My beloved judge, I am a criminal, but a criminal who loves thee more than he does himself. Have pity on me. Mary, my mother, come to my aid, and come immediately. Now is the time that thou canst assist me. Thou didst not abandon me when I lived in forgetfulness of thee and of God. Come to my relief now that I am resolved to serve thee always, and nevermore to offend my Lord. O Mary, after Jesus, thou art my hope. Third point, the eternal sentence. But behold, the judgment already begins. The books, which shall be the consciences of each individual, are opened. The judgment sat, and the books were opened. The witnesses against the reprobate will be, first, the devils, who, according to St. Augustine, will say, most just God, declare him to be mine, who was unwilling to be yours. Secondly, they will be their own consciences, their own conscience bearing witness to them. The very walls of the house in which they have offended God will bear testimony and will cry for vengeance against them. The stone shall cry out of the wall. Finally, the judge himself, who has been present at all the insults offered to him, will give evidence against the sinner. I am the judge and the witness, saith the Lord. St. Paul says that then the Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He will make known to all men the most secret and shameful sins of the reprobate, which they concealed even in the tribunal of confession. I will discover thy shame to thy face. The master of the sentences, along with other authors, is of opinion that the sins of the elect will not be manifested, but will, according to the words of David, be covered. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. But St. Basil teaches that with a single glance all will see, as in a picture, the sins of the damned. If, says St. Thomas, in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the words of Christ, I am he, the soldiers who came to take him prisoner fell prostrate on the ground, what will be the condition of the damned, when sitting in judgment he will say to them, Behold, I am he whom you have so much despised. But now comes the sentence. Jesus Christ will first turn to the elect and address them in these consoling words, Come, ye blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So great was the consolation which St. Francis of Assisi felt when he learned by revelation that he was predestined, that he could not contain himself. How great will be the joy of the elect in hearing the judge say to him, Come, blessed children, come to a kingdom. For you there are no more pains, no more fears. You are and shall be saved forever. I bless the blood which I have shed for you, and I bless the tears which you have shed for your sins. Let us ascend into paradise, where we shall remain together for all eternity. The Most Holy Mary will also bless her servants, and will invite them with her to heaven. And thus, singing Alleluias, the elect will enter heaven in triumph, to possess, to praise, and to love God forever. But on the other hand, the reprobate, turning to Jesus Christ, will say to him, What will become of us? Since the judge will say, You have renounced and despised my grace, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Depart, be gone from me. I wish neither to see nor to hear you evermore. You cursed, go, and since you have despised my blessing, go, accursed. And where, O Lord, will they go? Into fire, into hell, to burn both in soul and in body. And for how many years, or for how many ages? Into everlasting fire, for all eternity, as long as God shall be God. After this sentence, says St. Ephrem, the reprobate will take leave of the angels, of the saints, of relatives, and of the Divine Mother. Farewell, ye just, farewell, O cross, farewell, O paradise. Farewell, fathers and children, for we shall never see any of you again. Farewell, O Mary, Mother of God. Then, in the middle of that valley, a pit will be opened, into which the devils and the damned will fall. O God, they will see those gates closed, never to be opened, never, never, for all eternity. O accursed sin, to what a melancholy end will you one day lead so many poor souls? O unhappy souls, to whom this unhappy end is reserved. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Savior and my God, what sentence shall I receive on that day? If, O my Jesus, thou now demandest an account of my life, what could I say to thee, but that I deserve a thousand hells? Yes, it is true, O my divine Redeemer, I deserve a thousand hells, but remember that I love thee, and that I love thee more than myself. And for the insults I have committed against thee, I feel so great a sorrow that I would be content to have suffered every evil rather than have offended thee. Thou, O my Jesus, condemnest obstinate sinners, but not those who repent and wish to love thee. Behold me penitent at thy feet, make me feel that thou pardonest me. But this thou hast declared by the mouth of thy prophet, turn ye to me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn to you. I give up all things, I renounce all the pleasures and goods of this world. I turn to thee and embrace thee, O my beloved Redeemer. Ah, receive me into thy heart, and there inflame me with thy holy love. But inflame me in such a manner that I shall never again think of separating from thee. O my Jesus, save me, and let my salvation consist in loving thee always, and in singing thy mercies forever. The mercies of the Lord I will sing forever. Mary, my hope, my refuge, and my mother, assist me, and obtain for me holy perseverance. No one has been lost who has had recourse to thee. To thee I recommend myself, have pity on me. Consideration 26 in the preparation for death. The pains of hell, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. First point, the pain of sense. In committing sin, the sinner does two evils. He abandons God, the sovereign good, and turns to creatures. For my people have done two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have digged to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Since then, by turning to creatures, the sinner offends God, he will be justly tortured in hell by the same creatures, by fire and by devils. In this punishment consists the pain of sense. But because his greatest guilt and the malice of sin consist in turning his back on God, his principal torment, his hell, will be the pain of loss, or that pain arising from having lost God. Let us first consider the pain of sense. It is of faith that there is a hell. In the middle of the earth there is a prison reserved for the chastisement of rebels against God. What is this hell? It is what the glutton who was damned called a place of torments. A place of torments where all the senses and powers of the damned will have their proper torment, and where the more a person has offended God by any sense, the more he will be tortured in that sense. By what things a man sinneth, by the same also he is tormented. As much as she hath glorified herself and lived in delicacies, so much torments and sorrow give ye to her. The sight will be tormented with darkness. A land, says Job, that is dark and covered with a mist of death. How pitiable the condition of a man who is shut up in a dark cave for 40 or 50 years, or during his whole life. Hell is a dungeon closed up on every side, into which a ray of the sun or of any other light shall never enter. He shall never see the light. The fire of this world sends forth light, but the fire of hell is utterly dark. The voice of the Lord divided the fire. In explaining these words, St. Basil says that the Lord will separate the light from the fire, so that this fire will burn but will not illuminate. Albertus Magnus expounds them more briefly, and says that God will divide the flame from the heat. The very smoke that issues from that fire shall form a storm of darkness, which, according to St. Jude, will blind the damned, to whom the storm of darkness is reserved forever. St. Thomas teaches that the damned have only the light which serves to increase their torments. In that glimmering light they will see the deformity of their associates and of the devils, who will assume horrible forms in order to increase the terrors of the damned. The sense of smell will also be tormented. How painful to be confined in a close room along with a putrid corpse. Out of their carcasses, says the prophet Isaiah, shall rise a stink. The damned must remain in the midst of so many millions of the reprobate, who, though forever alive to pain, are called carcasses on account of the stench which they send forth. St. Bonaventure says that if the body of one of the damned were placed on this earth, it would, by its stench, be sufficient to cause the death of all men. Miserable fools, the greater the number of the damned in hell, the more insufferable will be their torments. There, says St. Thomas, the society of the reprobate will cause not a diminution, but an increase of misery. Their sufferings are more intolerable on account of the stench, on account of the shrieks of the damned, and on account of the narrowness of the place. In hell, they will be one over the other like sheep gathered together in the winter. They are, said David, laid in hell like sheep. They will be even like grapes pressed under the winepress of God's wrath. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God the Almighty. From this will arise the pain of immobility. Let them become immovable as a stone. Thus, in whatsoever position the damned will fall into hell after the last day, in that they must remain, without ever changing their posture, and without ever being able to move hand or foot, as long as God will be God. The sense of hearing will be tormented by the unceasing howling and wailing of those miserable beings who are sunk in an abyss of despair. The devils will torment the damned by continual noises. The sound of dread is always in his ears. How painful to a person longing for sleep to hear the groans of a sick man, the barking of a dog, or the screams of an infant. But oh, how miserable the condition of the damned, who must listen incessantly for all eternity to the clamor and cries of the companions of their torments. The damned will be tormented by a ravenous hunger. They shall suffer hunger like dogs. But they never will have a morsel of bread. Their thirst will be so great that all the waters of the ocean will not be able to quench it, but they will never be allowed a single drop. The rich glutton asks for a drop of water, but he has not as yet had it, and he never, never will have it. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Lord, behold at thy feet one who has so much despised thy grace and thy chastisements. Miserable should I be, O my Jesus, if thou hadst not taken pity on me. How many years should I be in that fetid furnace, in which so many of my companions are now burning? Ah, my Redeemer, why does not this thought make me burn with thy love? How can I ever again think of offending thee? Ah, my Jesus, may I never more displease thee. Strike me dead 1,000 times rather than permit me ever again to insult thee. Since thou hast begun, complete the work. Thou hast taken me out of the abyss of so many sins, and hast so lovingly called me to love thee. Ah, grant that I may spend for thee all the time which thou now givest me. How ardently should the damned desire a day or an hour of the time granted to me, and shall I continue to spend it in offending thee? No, my Jesus, through the merits of that blood, which has hitherto delivered me from hell, do not permit it. I love thee, O Sovereign Good, and because I love thee, I'm sorry for having offended thee. I wish never more to offend thee, but to love thee forever. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, pray to Jesus for me, and obtain for me the gift of perseverance and of his holy love. Second point. The fire of hell. The pain which most severely torments the senses of the damned arises from the fire of hell, which tortures the sense of touch. The vengeance on the flesh of the ungodly is fire and worms. Hence, in passing sentence, the Lord makes special mention of it. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Even in this life, the pain of fire is the greatest of all torments. But according to St. Augustine, our fire, compared with the fire of hell, is but painted fire. St. Vincent Ferrer says that in comparison with the fire of hell, our fire is cold. The reason is that the fire of this earth has been created for our use, but God has made the fire of hell purposely to torment the damned. As Tertullian remarks, fire which is made for the use of man in this world is very different from that which is used for the justice of God. The wrath of God lights up this avenging fire. A fire is kindled in my rage. Hence the prophet Isaiah calls the fire of hell the spirit of heat. If the Lord shall wash away the filth of the daughters of Zion by the spirit of burning. the damned will be sent not to the fire, but into the fire. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Thus, like a piece of wood in the furnace, they will be surrounded by fire. They will have an abyss of fire below, an abyss of fire above, and an abyss of fire on every side. If they touch or see or breathe, they touch and see and breathe nothing but fire. They will live in fire like a fish in water. But this fire will not only surround the damned, but will also enter into their very bowels to torment them. Their bodies will become all fire. Thus, this fire will burn the bowels, the heart, the brain, the blood within the veins, and even the marrow within the bones. Each of the damned will be in himself a furnace of fire. Thou shalt make them as a furnace of fire. Some cannot bear to walk under a strong sun, or to remain in a close room before a large fire. They cannot endure the spark that flies from a candle, and still they fear not the devouring flames of hell. Which of you, says the prophet Isaiah, can dwell with devouring fire? As a wild beast devours a lamb, so the fire of hell devours the damned, but it devours them without ever causing death. Fool, says St. Peter Damian, addressing the unchaste, continue to indulge your flesh. A day will come when your impurities, like pitch, will nourish and increase within your bowels the flame which will torment you in hell. St. Jerome says that this fire will bring with it all the pains and torments to which men are subject on this earth, pains in the sides, in the head, in the bowels, in the nerves. In this fire, the damned will suffer even the pain of cold. Let him, says Job, pass from the snow waters to excessive heat. But we must always keep in mind that all the torments of this earth are, as St. Chrysostom says, but the shadow of the pains of hell. The powers of the soul will also have their proper torment. The damned will be tormented in the memory by the remembrance of the time which was given to them in this life that they might save their souls, and which they spent in procuring their own damnation, by the remembrance of the graces which they have received from God and of which they have not profited. They will be tormented in the understanding by thinking of the great good which they have lost in losing heaven and God, and that this loss is forever irreparable. In the will, by seeing that they will be refused whatsoever they ask, the desire of the wicked shall perish. The miserable beings will never have anything which they desire, and will be forever afflicted with the eternal torments which they abhor. They would wish to be rid of these torments and to enjoy peace, but in these torments they will forever remain, and peace they will never find. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Jesus, thy blood and thy death are my hope. Thou hast died to deliver me from eternal death. Ah, Lord, who hast partaken more of thy merits than I, who have so often deserved hell. Ah, do not allow me to live any longer ungrateful to the great graces thou hast bestowed upon me. Thou hast delivered me from the fire of hell, because thou wishest me to burn not in that tormenting fire, but with the sweet flames of thy love. Assist me, then, that I may satisfy thy desire. Were I now in hell, I could never more love thee. But since I am able to love thee, I wish to love thee. I love thee, O infinite goodness. I love thee, O my Redeemer, who hast loved me so tenderly. How have I been able to live so long in forgetfulness of thee? I thank thee for not having been forgetful of me. Hadst thou forgotten me, I should now either be in hell or without sorrow for my sins. This sorrow which I feel in my heart for having offended thee, and my desire to love thee ardently, are gifts of thy grace, which still assist me. I thank thee for them, O my Jesus. I hope for the future to give thee the remainder of my life. I wish to think only of serving and pleasing thee. Remind me always of the hell I've deserved, and of the graces thou hast bestowed upon me, and do not permit me ever again to turn my back upon thee and to condemn myself to that pit of torments. O Mother of God, pray for me, a sinner. Thy intercession has delivered me from hell. Deliver me also, O my mother, by thy prayers, from sin, which alone can again condemn me to hell. Third point, the pain of loss. But all these torments are nothing compared with the pain of loss. Hell does not consist in the darkness, the stench, shrieks, and fire. The pain which constitutes hell is the pain of having lost God. Let torments, says St. Bruno, be added to torments, and let them not be deprived of God. And St. John Chrysostom says that 1,000 hells are not equal to this pain. According to St. Augustine, if the damned enjoyed the vision of God, they should feel no pain, and hell should be converted into a paradise. To conceive some notion of this pain, consider that should a person lose a jewel worth 100 crowns, the loss would occasion great pain. But were the jewel worth 200 crowns, his pain is doubled, and if it were worth 400 crowns, the pain is still greater. In a word, the pain which he suffers increases in proportion to the value of what he has lost. What have the damned lost? They have lost God, who is an infinite good. Hence, St. Thomas says that the pain of the damned is, in a certain manner, infinite. This pain is dreaded only by the saints. St. Ignatius of Loyola used to say, Lord, I'm willing to bear every pain, but not the pain of being deprived of thee. But because they live in the midst of darkness, sinners who are content to live for months and years without God do not understand this pain. However, they will know at death the great good which they lose. At its departure from this world, the soul, says St. Antonine, instantly sees that it's been created for God. Hence it will suddenly rush forward to embrace its sovereign good. But if it be in sin, God will cast it off. If a dog sees a hare, what efforts does he not make to break his chains and seize his prey? At its separation from the body, the soul is naturally drawn to God, but sin drags it away and sends it to hell at a distance from him. Your iniquities, says the prophet Isaiah, have divided between you and your God. The entire, then, of the hell of the damned consists in that first word of the sentence of their condemnation, Depart from me, ye cursed. Go, Jesus Christ shall say, I do not wish you ever again to see my face. What Absalom heard that David condemned him never more to appear before him, he said, Tell my father either to permit me to see his face or to put me to death. To one of his grandees, whom he saw guilty of irreverence in the church, Philip II said, Do not dare ever again to appear in my presence. So great was the pain which the nobleman felt that after having returned home, he died of grief. What will be the anguish of the reprobate at the hour of death, when God will say to him, Be gone, I will never see you again. I will hide my face from thee. All evils and afflictions shall find them. On the day of judgment, Jesus Christ will say to the reprobate, You are no longer mine, I am no longer yours. Call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be yours. With what pain does a son at the death of a father or a wife at the death of a husband say, My father, my wife, I shall never see you again. Ah, if we now heard the wailing of one of the damned and asked him why he weeps so bitterly, his answer would be, I weep because I have lost God and shall never see him more. Perhaps the miserable man can love God in hell and can resign himself to his will. No, if he could do this, hell would not be hell. The unhappy being can never resign himself to the divine will. Neither can he love his God. He hates and will hate him forever, and his hell will consist in the conviction that God is an infinite good, and he is compelled to hate him while he sees that he is worthy of infinite love. When St. Catherine asked the devil who he was, he said, I am that wicked wretch that is deprived of the love of God. The damned will hate and curse God, and in cursing God they will also curse the benefits he has conferred upon them. They will curse the benefits of creation, of redemption, of the sacraments, particularly the sacraments of baptism and penance, and above all, the most holy sacrament of the altar. They will hate all the angels and saints, but especially their angel guardians and their holy advocates, and above all, the Divine Mother. But they will principally hate the three divine persons, and among them they will hate in a special manner the Son of God, who once died for their salvation. They will curse his wounds, his blood, his pains, and his death. Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, thou then art my supreme and infinite good, and I have so often voluntarily lost thee. I knew that in committing sin I gave thee great displeasure, and that I lost thy grace, and with this knowledge I have consented to sin. Ah, if I did not see thee, O Son of God, nailed to the cross in order to die for me, I should not have courage to ask or hope for pardon from thee. Eternal Father, look not on me, but behold thy beloved Son, who asks mercy for me. Hear him and pardon me. I ought at this moment to be in hell, without any hope of being ever more able to love thee or to recover thy lost grace. My God, I am sorry above all things for the injury I've done thee in renouncing thy friendship and despising thy love for the miserable pleasures of this world. Oh, that I had died 1,000 times rather than have offered thee so great an insult. How could I have been so blind and foolish? I thank thee, O my Lord, for giving me time to repair the evil I've done. Since, through thy mercy, I'm not in hell and can love thee, O my God, I wish to love thee. I will wait no longer to convert myself entirely to thee. I love thee, O infinite goodness. I love thee, my life, my treasure, my love, my all. Remind me always, O Lord, of the love which thou hast borne to me, and of the hell which I have deserved, that this thought may continually excite me to make acts of love, and to say always, I love thee, I love thee, I love thee. O Mary, my Queen, my hope and my mother, if I were in hell, I could never more love thee. I love thee, O my mother, and in thee, after Jesus, I trust that I shall never again cease to love my God and thee. Assist me, pray to Jesus for me. Consideration 27 in the preparation for death. The eternity of hell. And these shall go into everlasting punishment. First point, hell is eternal. Were hell not eternal, it would not be hell. Torments which continue but a short time are not a severe punishment. The man who is afflicted with an abscess or cancer submits to the knife or the cautery. The pain is very sharp, but because it's soon over, the torture is not very great. But should the incision or cauterization last for a week or for an entire month, how frightful should be his agony. A slight pain in the eye or in the teeth, when it lasts for a long time, becomes insupportable. Even a comedy, a musical entertainment, would it continue for an entire day, produces intolerable tediousness. And would it last for a month or for a year, who could bear it? What then must hell be, where the damned are compelled not to listen to the same comedy or the same music, nor to submit merely to pains in the eyes or in the teeth, or to the torture of the knife or of the red-hot iron, but to suffer all pains and all torments? And for how long? For all eternity. They shall be tortured forever and ever. This belief in eternity is an article of faith. It is not an opinion, but a truth, attested by God in so many places in Holy Scripture. Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire. And these shall go into everlasting punishment. Who shall suffer eternal punishment in destruction? Every one shall be salted with fire. As salt prevents putrefaction, so the fire of hell, while it tortures the damned, performs the office of salt by preserving their life. Now how great would be the folly of the man who, for the sake of a day's amusement, would voluntarily condemn himself to be shut up in a dungeon for 20 or 30 years? if hell lasted but 100 or even but 2 or 3 years, it would be the extreme of folly in a Christian to condemn himself to fire for 2 or 3 years for the vile pleasure of a moment. But there is not the question of 30, of 100, or of 100,000 years, but there is question of eternity. There is question of suffering forever, the same torments, torments which will never end and will never be mitigated in the slightest degree. The saints then had reason, as long as they were on this earth and in danger of being lost, to weep and tremble. Blessed Isaiah, even while he lived in the desert in fasting and penitential rigors, wept and said, "Ah, unhappy me, who am not as yet free from the danger of losing my soul." Affections and prayers. Ah, my God, if thou hadst sent me to hell, as I have often deserved, and hadst afterward drawn me from it, how deeply should I feel my obligations to thee! What a holy life would I have begun! And now that thou hast shown me greater mercy by preserving me from falling into that place of woe, what shall I do? Shall I again offend thee and provoke thy wrath, that thou mayest send me to burn in that prison of rebels against thy majesty, where so many are buried in fire for fewer sins than I've committed? Ah, my Redeemer, I have hitherto done so, and instead of availing myself of the time which thou gavest me to weep over my sins, I've spent it in provoking thee still more. I thank thy infinite goodness for having borne with me so long. If thy goodness were not infinite, how couldst thou have borne with me? I thank thee for having waited for me till now with so much patience. I thank thee in a most special manner for the light which thou now givest me, by which thou makest me see my folly and the injury I've done thee in insulting thee so often by my sins. My Jesus, I detest them and am sorry for them with my whole heart. Through the merits of thy passion, pardon me and assist me with thy grace, that I may never more offend thee. I now have just reason to fear that if I commit another mortal sin, thou wilt abandon me. My Lord, I entreat thee to place this just fear before my eyes whenever the devil will tempt me to offend thee again. My God, I love thee. I do not wish evermore to lose thee. Assist me by thy grace. O most holy Virgin, do thou also assist me. Obtain for me the grace always to have recourse to thee in my temptations, that I may never again lose my God. Mary, after Jesus, thou art my hope. Second point, the weight of eternity. He that enters hell will not depart from it for all eternity. This thought made David tremble and say, "Let not the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." As soon as the damned fall into that pit of torments, its mouth is closed, never to be opened. In hell, there is a gate for admission, but none for egress. There will be a descent, says Eusebius, but there will be no ascent. In explaining the words of the psalmist, this author says, "And let not the pit shut her mouth, because when it shall have received them, it will be closed above and open downward." As long as a sinner remains on this earth, he may hope to reverse the sentence of his damnation, but as soon as death overtakes him in sin, all his hopes are at an end forever. When the wicked man is dead, there shall be no hope any more. Perhaps the damned may flatter themselves with a false hope, and thus find some relief in their despair. The man who is mortally wounded, confined to his bed, and given over by his physicians, may console himself with the hope of finding a physician or a remedy to heal his wounds. The man who is condemned to the galleys for life may also find comfort in the expectation of being one day delivered from his chains. And may not the damned at least say, "Who knows but I shall one day escape from this prison," and thus delude himself with this false hope? No, in hell there is no hope, whether true or false. There is no perhaps. "I will set before thy face." The unhappy damned will always see the sentence of their reprobation written before their eyes. In it they will read that they will weep forever in that pit of torments. And many shall awake, some unto life everlasting, and others unto reproach, to see it always. Hence the damned not only suffer the torments of each moment, but in each moment they endure the pain of eternity, saying, what I now suffer, I must suffer forever. They bear, says Tertullian, the weight of eternity. We will continue with the preparation for death and the chapter on the eternity of hell by St. Alphonsus de Liguori on side B of this tape.